Sean Miller's tenure as Arizona's head men's basketball coach happened 12 years on the job. What comes next? Joining us now to talk about that from the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson.com, Bruce Pascoe, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Bruce, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no sweat. Thanks for having me.
I saw your tweet that said you've been updating the story you published today for, since 2017, so yeah. I'm guessing this didn't come as a surprise to you, generally speaking. But what do you make of the timing of this, Bruce?
Well, that's exactly it. It's not a why, it's a sort of a why now thing. And, you know, I mean, there's certainly many different points along the lines where they could have made a change, you know, since September 2017, although at that time it was Book Richardson as assistant coach, and there was a thought that maybe it was just Book doing his own thing. And then as they went along, more and more allegations came out, and Arizona had its own investigation. Then they got the letter, the notice of allegations from the NCAA in October, and certainly they knew exactly who was accused of doing what, and at that point a change could have been made. They announced in December that they were going to self-sanction, so they were basically admitting at that point that they knew that some serious things had happened, and they could have made a change at that point. They could have made a change after the end of the season right away, which would have given them more time, and they didn't. And then they waited 5 weeks until after the season and decided to do it. So the only thing I can think is that they were using the last 5 weeks to vet out some possible candidates. And once they had one or two people lined up that they knew they could get, then they went ahead and made a change.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we should know in a matter of hours or days who it is. And it's probably not so much a search as it's been done.
Yeah.
But if that's not the case, who knows what they're thinking?
No, Bruce, I think that really seems like the most logical conclusion, that they locked in on somebody, they've got him in a back pocket, and then it was time to just kind of like make the move, if you will. Where did it go wrong for Sean Miller, in your opinion? Aside from the allegations that followed a couple of assistants, where did he lose control of all of this?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Dan. I think everything as far as the stuff going wrong really kind of is traced back to this these two investigations between the FBI and the NCAA. So it's hard to say, but I do think as far as on the court, you know, they had a couple of tough losses in 17. They lost in the Sweet 16 to Xavier, and you know, had a chance to go to the Final Four there in Phoenix, and everything seemed to be lined up, and that was frustrating to a lot of people. And then in 18. When they had DeAndre Ayton, of course, they lost to Buffalo in the first round, and that was a big source of frustration as well. And so while this investigation is going on, you have a little bit of frustration on the court. Maybe the team's not achieving to the standards it would like to, and that sort of turned into sort of a downward slide. And you know, but again, I think that a lot of those things on the court, certainly the last 3 years, have pretty much all been traceable to the investigation going on. I mean, even that 17-18 team that lost to Buffalo, that was a team that lost Book Richardson, who, you know, say what you want about Book, but he was a glue of that team. You know, the players loved him. He was the guy, you know, could relate to anybody, and they didn't have that piece. And then they had, you know, as that season went on, there were some allegations that came out about from the ESPN report that Miller was allegedly doing things, and you know, that didn't help on the court either, and so there's just a lot bubbling up, and that's kind of been the case, honestly, for almost 4 years now.
Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. When this news broke yesterday, we were talking about it on the show, Bruce, and I said it would make a lot of sense, especially considering the depths that this program has sunk to go back into that Lute Olson tree, a former player, a former assistant coach under Lute Olson, the glory days of Arizona basketball. And I know there's possibilities out there. Do you get any inkling from the program that is the road that they will go down? And what do you think of that possibility?
Well, they certainly have that option, but I think they're considering, but I don't think that's their primary criteria. And Dave Hickey, the AD, pretty much said that yesterday, that he ruled out that you had to be a head coach. He also ruled out that you had to have Arizona ties. And, you know, I think a couple of guys, particularly Damon Stoudemire, is probably the one that jumps out at me the most, who has both of those things. And he's the head coach of Pacific, which is an extremely difficult job in the WCC, you know, and, you know, he was their coach of the year last year. So, you know, if he would be the kind of guy they could pull over. There's a number of others, Josh Pastner, if he's interested. You know, you go down the line, there are a few that go back to Lute. And Damon actually played under Lute, was an All-American under Lute, and then coached under Sean Miller. So he sort of ties it all up. But that said, I mean, there's a lot of speculation about Tommy Lloyd out of Gonzaga, been their, you know, head assistant, and he's been there for 20 years. He has an incredible international recruiting connection, and that's, I think that might be appealing because of, you know, it's hard to recruit here in Tucson, and you have to go coast to coast and have that international piece if you can, because there's not a lot of talent here, and especially when USC and UCLA are going, it's really hard to get into LA, and that's been a problem for them the last few years. So if you have that international tie, that's a big thing, and it just so happens that right now, the guys that are sitting there on the current roster that a new coach is going to have to re-recruit, a lot of them are international players, so that could help if they happen to hire that.
Bruce, a skeptic might say, look at Bill Self and his lifetime contract and look at Sean Miller in a completely polar opposite outcome and say it's only because the Final Fours were never delivered here, that there are no banners. Is it as simplistic as that, do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that way. I mean, Dave Hickey said himself that it's both on and off the court considerations that he didn't feel those standards were met. And you could argue that, yeah, Bill Self has a little more equity for what he's done on the court. I think Bill Self, from what I know from just outside, I think he's, maybe also drawn a little bit of sort of equity also from just the way he appears in public with fans and media, et cetera, and that can't hurt. And then on the other hand, one thing that's worth keeping in mind is that the NCAA allegations against Kansas are quite different, a lot of them, than what's facing Arizona, and that a lot of the Kansas ones kind of center around the idea of whether Adidas is a booster for Kansas or not. And Kansas has been against this from day one. They've been very vocal about fighting it. So for them to go ahead and extend Self was just sort of another piece of that and not really a surprise. Whereas Arizona's got a different set of allegations, mostly involving assistance and sort of the lack of control for Miller, allegedly. And, and they've been very quiet about their support. So it's just a different deal that Kansas would go that direction. But certainly you do wonder about the on the court. How much of a factor is the on the court?
Yeah, last thing before we let you go, Bruce, and we appreciate it. Bruce Pascoe, our guest. There's a lot of talk. And whenever a job like this comes open, the discussion is, how attractive is this job on a national level? And anybody would be a fool to deny that there's not a lot going on for Arizona basketball in a positive light. But on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, how attractive would you rate this job in its current state with everything hanging over this program?
Well, it's in the short term, it's not very attractive because it has the NCAA hanging over it and not a lot to inherit it unless they can recruit some of these key international players. But in the long term, you know, if you're given a deal for 5 to 7 years and it's, you know, there's a lot of commitment, it's, you know, I'd say it's probably still an 8. And I think even though that with the recruiting being as hard as it can be here, I just think there's not too many places where you have the kind of support and interest because it's a pretty big metro area here. And, you know, of course, the closest pro teams are up there in Phoenix. So, you know, it's still the biggest game in town. And players like to be that in that environment. And they like to be rock stars walking around, you know, to whatever restaurants or whatever. And there's not too many colleges that really have it. Even a place like UCLA, those guys are, I don't think they're as much, as big stars in their community as the players here are at U of A. So if you can, deal with the interim problems they're going to have, there's some appeal there and, you know, there's some history, but, you know, it's probably still one of the better jobs in college basketball.
Bruce, thanks so much for the time and the insight. Yeah. We appreciate it, man.